Hello, I'm Cathy Clugston with the BBC News. Shares on China's main stock market have risen on the first day's trading without a state-imposed safety net. After a rocky start when initial gains were soon reversed, shares on the country's biggest index in Shanghai closed nearly 2% higher than on Thursday. China's currency is also up after the central bank raised its guidance rate. Steve Evans is in Beijing.
After less than a week, the Chinese authorities abolished a mechanism meant to calm markets, but which actually appears to have made them more volatile. The idea was that the so-called circuit breaker would prevent a crash, but on Monday and Thursday, investors couldn't sell fast enough when conditions for its use neared, so causing exactly the crash the authorities wanted to prevent.
South Korean media says North Korea has resumed propaganda broadcasts into the South, just hours after South Korea restarted its own program of hostile broadcasts across the border into the North. Seoul turned the loudspeakers back on as part of its response to Pyongyang's announcement on Wednesday that it had tested a hydrogen bomb. The broadcasts, which include loud music and political taunts, infuriate both governments. Last August, North Korea traded artillery fire with its southern neighbour when Seoul briefly restarted its broadcasts. Medical staff treating refugees in the Balkans say they're seeing a spike in the number of migrants falling ill because of cold weather. Temperatures have fallen as low as minus 14 degrees Celsius. Tulip Mazumdar has this report from the Serbian-Croatia border.
There's snow piled up either side of the train tracks here at Šid railway station. People who stayed overnight are getting ready for the next train to arrive to take them into Croatia. Aid workers hand out clothes and hot drinks here. There's a makeshift medical centre too. Doctors say they've seen a sharp rise in chest infections. They're also seeing cases of frostbite and gangrene. They warn that the people who are anxious to reach their final destinations for fear of borders closing are not stopping for urgent medical care.
The United Nations says it hopes to start delivering food to the besieged Syrian town of Madaya, where people are reported to have died from starvation. As part of a deal with the Syrian authorities, aid will also be delivered to two besieged government-held villages, Fua and Kefreya, near the Turkish border. Jim Muir reports.
Relief agencies are now working to get supplies into Madaya and the other two villages in the next 2 or 3 days. Assuming there are no hitches, that will ease the plight of those trapped there for the moment, but it's far from a lasting solution. In at least 15 places around the country, around 400,000 people have been living under siege conditions, in some cases for well over a year. The UN says that over the past year, the government has approved just 10% of its requests to get aid to those communities and to more than 4 million people living in other troubled areas.
World News from the BBC. President Obama has strongly criticised the most powerful US gun lobby during a televised public forum. He said the NRA had deliberately misrepresented his proposed legislation on gun control. Here's John Sopel.
What was striking about this town hall appearance by the president was not what he said that was new. He'd set out the executive actions he'd take earlier in the week, but his determination to take the fight to the most powerful lobby group in the US, the National Rifle Association. He lambasted them for refusing to appear in the program and said that all his proposals sought to do was to ensure that weapons didn't get into the wrong hands. And he ridiculed the idea that he was engaged in a conspiracy to take away people's right to bear arms.
Dozens of homes and businesses in the town of Yarloop in Western Australia have been destroyed by a massive bushfire. 3 people remain unaccounted for. Half of the buildings there have been destroyed and many others charred by the blaze. Firefighters are working to contain it. Myanmar's military says it has clashed repeatedly with rebels in the western state of Rakhine. A statement in the army newspaper said that several soldiers have been killed, along with 3 fighters from the Arakan Army rebel group. The Arakan Army is one of more than 15 armed factions active in Myanmar. Jonah Fisher reports from the Thai capital, Bangkok.
The Burmese army is part of a long-running peace process, but it hasn't stopped fighting. It's pursuing a complex, some would say, self-defeating strategy, negotiating with a few armed groups in the hope that others will join, while trying to crush smaller rebel factions like the Arakan Army. Founded 6 years ago, the Arakan Army says it's fighting for the rights of the people of Rakhine State in Myanmar's far west. According to the latest army report, 15 clashes took place over the new year, with several soldiers, including a commanding officer, killed.
BBC News.